You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network.
You're listening to the Dog Bite Podcast, an unofficial podcast for Fresno State Athletics. The thoughts and opinions are that of the show host and in no way reflect the thoughts and opinions of the university. Today's episode is brought to you by DKO Digital, servicing all of your computer repair and website design needs. Help them help you. Welcome, everyone, to the Dog Bite Podcast, another edition of the Dog Bite Podcast as we get ready to kick off another season of Fresno State football. With me in studio, as always, Lorenzo Reyna from the Red Zone Frenzy.
Not just football, I mean, other sports as well, but I mean, football's in full swing. They put on the pads, they're starting to pop. I mean, we'll get into all that later.
Yeah, I mean, practices have been in full swing. They're gearing up, they're put the pads on, they're hitting each other. Now, with all the hitting, does come a little bit of injuries now, does there?
Yeah, it does, and I don't have like the full complete list. However, there are some significant tweaks that were made this past week, so we'll get into all that as well. And not only that, there's going to be a fashion model runway show later on this week. Now, hold your breath. It's not Victoria's Secret. It's not Sports Illustrated. We'll let you know what it is.
Well, yeah, this upcoming Friday, Fresno State will have a fashion show to unveil their brand new uniforms. Looks like Pat Hill gave in and is actually going to go ahead and let everyone take a look. Now, it is only open to the media. It's not open to the public. So there is a catch to that. But I have a feeling there's going to be some photos come out showing the Fresno State uniforms.
Yeah, so you'll get on your Twitter feeds, maybe Facebook. And if only I had a camera.
Well, I might have to let you borrow one.
All right, we'll look into that.
So we'll see. I got a digital camera you might be able to take with you.
Okay.
So, but you know, yeah. So we're gonna get on it. We're gonna see if we can maybe sneak some photos out, and hopefully we don't get in trouble for it.
We won't get in trouble. I mean, I've been out there, and I'm sure there's gonna be a good number of people who want to see firsthand what they look like. And another thing too, other schools like Washington State, when they unveiled their new uniforms, it was open to the public. So.
Yeah, well, they need to make it open to the public because people are dying to see it.
Yeah, we want to know if there's going to be a black one after all, or it's just going to be red and white or blue. Or people want to know.
Now, you might think we don't have much to talk about since we're talking about uniforms, but, you know, there's plenty to talk about. This is just one of the hot topics around town. People really want to know what the uniforms are going to be, and, you know, to tell you the truth, I could care less. It's a uniform. I mean,
well, here's the thing. People get tired of looking at the same thing. It's almost like looking at the same fresh set of the same coat of paint. After a while, you just get tired of it and you want a new color.
Now, I will tell you, the new football field is looking very sharp.
They don't have the numbers, though.
No. They started putting some of them on. I saw some photos with the numbers on there, and it's starting to look sharp. I mean, with the end zone and the checkerboard. You know, I was tired of the checkerboard, but actually with the new field turf, it actually looks really nice with the checkerboard.
Well, it's going to look nicer because when it rained, I mean, it ruined the checkerboard.
Yeah, so now it's never going to go away.
Yeah, it's like if it was white, it was still a little bit of red.
It turned pink.
it turned pink and lavender, and sometimes we couldn't even figure out where the 10-yard line was.
No, now we'll definitely be able to know exactly where every yard marker is going to be on the field, and it will look nice on TV. But, you know, enough being said, we covered that all last week, so we're going to go ahead and jump in. Now, practices started this past week. They were open to the public, actually.
They still are open to the public, at least until Saturday scrimmage.
Yeah, and you were there to catch a lot of the action, weren't you?
Yeah, you know what? The first day that they put on the pads, it was a little slow at first. I mean, I've seen 7-on-7 competitions that were more exciting than like the first 2 hours. Then it started to pick up. I think what happened, what did it was, there was a play where Kyle Knox, during team drills, he was coming in on an outside linebacker blitz. AJ Ellis picked it up immediately. He stepped in, buried his right shoulder, plowed into Kyle Knox, knocked Knox like off his feet. That was one of the highlights of the first first day in full pads right there.
Now, one of the notable things that happened at practice was there was supposedly there was a huge fight, wasn't it, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was the day I didn't go.
Oh, man.
But I heard about it. It was like a bullring fight. I forget who it was. I mean, I'm sure if we opened up our Twitter feeds, we would know, but that's what I heard. The thing is, though, fights at practice is nothing new. I saw one last year. I've seen one like previous years, especially during the spring. I remember one spring practice. It was back in 2009. Four different fights broke out.
Yeah, and normally Pat Hill loves the fights because that means that the team is really anxious to get things going. But from what I heard on his interview this morning on the radio on ESPN 1430, Pat Hill wasn't too happy. In fact, from what I hear, he closed down practice early because of it.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why there was no practice earlier today. I don't know.
Yeah, he was not happy with it. He just didn't want to tolerate any of the fighting that was going on there. So maybe one of the fights was actually for real. So
maybe they were fighting over some Facebook post or I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not like in the middle of the field.
Maybe they didn't like something we said. I don't know.
Who listens to us? I don't think anybody on the team listens to us. Well, you never know, though.
But it's quite interesting. They did break out in a fight, but also other items that have happened during practices, injuries. Jalen Saunders dislocated a finger.
Yeah, it was his thumb. Now, he's not going to be out for the duration of fall camp, but he will wear a splint.
Yeah, and according to Pat Hill, it's not going to hinder him. It might hinder him on maybe catching the ball, but he will continue to practice. So
you can catch a football like this, four fingers.
Yeah, but with a big old metal splint, as soon as the ball hits that splint, it's going to bounce right off.
Yeah, I knew some people that are playing with metal splints. Now, granted, here's the issue that might be at hand. What if he uses it as a weapon?
Sort of like the hammer that Chris Carter used.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if like Jalen Saunders is going to have something similar. Now, if he has like the Mega Man cast, then there's no way. There's no way he's going to catch a football, not even return a punt.
Nah, it's
unless they put him on the line.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy. But in other news, there's also a couple of players that have been pretty much are going to sit out the rest of the year. One with academic issues and the other one.
Okay, Nico Mota has the academic issues. He was in the defensive line rotation. He's been with the program for, I want to say, at least 2-3 years, at least, from Singer High School. He has academic issues, so he's ineligible for the fall. The other one is Anthony Williams. He violated an athletic department policy rule. Now, I don't know specifically what this rule is. Usually when stuff like this break out, they keep a tight lip on it. But all I know is that Anthony Williams, he's out with what's being called as an athletic department policy violation, so.
Yeah, so there's really no word at what it is. I haven't run across what it is yet on Twitter or any post or anything. So they're really keeping a tight lip on it. But you know, he knows what he did. And according to Pat Hill on the radio show this morning, Pat Hill said that the players know that he's in full support of the NCAA ruling. Which is a rule that the NCAA has out that he violated. So it's something big. It can't be anything small for him to be sitting out for the whole season.
I think maybe they're keeping it a tight lip because if it gets out, then there might be one or two people that'll take it and run with it, try to blow it up.
Yeah.
I think that's something that Pat Hill doesn't want. Now, we know this. He broke some kind of rule. That's all we know.
Now, moving back to the practices, with Jalen Saunders hurt with a hurt finger, a number of the wide receivers are nicked up.
Well, Isaiah Burris tweaked a hamstring. He didn't practice from what I was told yesterday. Now, I don't know if he's going to practice the rest of the week, but, I mean, when you have a hamstring injury, that hinders your running ability. So, I mean, it's just as extreme. It's just as extreme as having a splint.
Hamstring is like the worst injury you can have because it nags you for the whole year.
Yeah,
and Burst could be having issues with that hamstring for the rest of the year. So
unless he gets the proper treatment,
there's something that one's one to keep an eye on. Now with all the, I believe there's other injuries in the wide receiving core. The problem with this is that this year, Fresno State was really gearing towards a passing game. Now, with all the injuries to the wide receivers and them sitting out, they can't exactly practice those sets that they want to.
Well, here's the thing you got to remember, though. I mean, injuries are going to happen, especially when they put on the pads and there's going to be some nicks. I can't even think of one football team that has gone through the whole year with one injury or with any injuries at all. I mean, Green Bay, the Packers won the Super Bowl with 20 guys on injured reserve. So, I mean, now granted, I don't think it's going to really hinder the Fresno State's ability to practice some passing plays from here on out. They're deep at wide receiver. They are. The issue is, though, I mean, is this going to be a reoccurring thing? Are they going to have to lighten up practice?
Well, one of the issues, though, is that there's so many of them nicked up and so many of them sitting out that the sets that they're practicing, they only have like four wide receivers available, and even those are kind of nicked up.
Well, Devin Wiley's out there, too. He hasn't been injured yet.
Don't jinx him.
I hope not. There's him. There's Stallworth. There's the walk-ons. I mean,
according to Pat Hill, some of the sets that they've been wanting to practice, they can't. And that's gonna kind of slow things down to a point where some of the plays that they've wanted to call against Cal are probably gonna be put off.
They're gonna have to be on the back burner now. I will say maybe this might be a good thing because Pat Hill usually is pretty anal about having like certain video footage or pictures being taken, and the last thing he wants is. He doesn't want to run like a certain play that they're going to do against Cal, and then somebody picks it up, posts it online or on TV, and then Cal sees that, or any other school.
Well, one of his policies is he doesn't want video cameras or.
It's usually when they're stretching out or when they're on the sidelines or when they're doing like one-on-one drills, but not during team drills.
Yeah,
they don't want that.
He doesn't want any kind of filming, and it's understandable. I mean, we got to respect his wishes.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the running backs, it looks like Mighty Mouse Rouse is ready to go. He's 100%.
Your favorite running back. Milton Knox has actually done pretty decent, actually.
I haven't. Yeah, you've been out of practices. I haven't had a chance to go out there, but Milton Knox has been holding his own.
Yeah, they've utilized him in the Hound package or the Wildcat, and he... To me, he's more the inside running back that Fresno State wants.
Yeah, we're going to need a pounder, and we need a finesse guy. Rouse handles the finesse, and Knox should be able to do the battering
dirty work.
Ram.
Yeah, the dirty work.
And A.J. Ellis is doing good, too.
He's healthy. I mean, he had that hellacious block on the first day of practice. And Michael Harris has actually been pretty impressive as well. Now, granted, he's been doing it against like the third or fourth team, but
now from what I hear, the defense has really been holding their own against the offense.
Last few days. One of the things this year about the defense is gone are the days of where they're doing just one thing, where they're lining up one guy and keeping them there the whole time. You're seeing Logan Harrell play pretty much like all four defensive linemen spots. They move him around. And they're also switching like different formations as well. I mean, there's times in which they go three-man front. There's times in which like they'll bring the house with like blitzes and different like stunts. So credit Randy Stewart, the defensive coordinator. He's trying to it really looks as if he's trying to get a little bit more creative with the defense. And he told me back on media day, gone are the days where we would just get like a 325-pound guy, just have him clog up the middle, and that was all he did. Now it's like everything's just so spread out, so we have to spread out ourselves.
Yeah, and from what I hear, the defensive backs have been doing great, too, against Derek Carr. They've picked him off a few times.
Well, Philip Thomas.
From what I hear, Philip Thomas is having a field day. He's been putting some words down against Derek there.
You know what? It's Bakersfield rivalry, I guess. I mean, I forget what high school Philip Thomas is. I think Clay will probably let us know later on where he came.
Yeah, probably.
But I will say this. I mean, Thomas, to me, has been the most impressive defender so far in the fall camps. I mean, there's certain plays, even in shorts, this guy has actually shown ability to blow up plays to prevent them from happening.
Wow.
I mean, there was one particular where I think Fresno, I think Derek Carr was trying to throw a screen, but Thomas was right there. If it was in full pads, he would have lit him up.
And you know, one of the best things that probably happened last year was, you know, the injury to Zach Hill, which gave Philip Thomas the opportunity to start, and he's not letting go of that position. He is he's pretty much taken over that free safety
spot. You
know,
I almost feel like Zach Hill would be better as a linebacker, maybe even a defensive lineman.
Now, has Zach Hill suited up?
Yeah, he's practicing right now. Now, I will say he still kind of has the effect from that leg injury that he had, because I do notice that he is a little bit of a step slower from previous years. So he's still having trouble with coverage right there.
Okay.
Now, I mean, he might still be in the rotation. Maybe he could come in a nickel situation, but I mean, we'll see. I feel like, honestly, Zach Hill's better off playing like a little bit closer to the line.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get a chance to even watch Zach Hill play. I mean, he got hurt in preseason last year, and
it was a Sunday scrimmage, actually.
And he hasn't come out since then. I mean, he's been nursing that leg.
Yeah.
But
Thomas should have a big year, I think.
Now, our by the sounds of it, our defensive line is a little thin this year.
Well, I want to say that they're thin. Granted, Williams and Mota, they're gone. However, though, they still have Logan Harrell. Donnie Pritchett should still start. Keep in mind, they also had the five defensive linemen that they brought in for the recruiting class. Some of those guys are already in the rotation as it is. I mean, Donovan Lewis is part of the rotation. Mershad Dillon has also gotten some reps. Maurice Poyadu, he's another one. I've also seen Ronald Usry as well. So,
It's... I believe a lot of underclassmen are going to be suiting up this year.
Well, they were going to be younger anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the offensive line, they only have two seniors. So Logan Harrell, Chase McAtee, they're the only seniors. And those are two starters right there. Matt Akers has come on. He might actually figure to crack the starting rotation. And then there's Donnie Pritchett. I think that's your front four right there.
Yeah.
And then the guys rotating in.
How about at the tight end position? Is it still Ryan Skidmore?
Yeah, it's just Skidmore.
We don't have another tight end at all.
Well, they have Tapa, but I mean, they move Tapa around a lot. So almost feel like Tapa's a fullback now.
Tapa's a utility guy now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it's interesting. I mean, and if you want to check out more, there's going to be a scrimmage this Saturday, and by the sounds of it, it's going to be at the practice field.
Yeah, right? Part of it is because they're still setting up the field turf. It's not ready yet. Now, by the time the first home game versus North Dakota, that's when it should be ready. That's when it should be good to go. But in the meantime, much like the spring scrimmage, This fall scrimmage is going to be at the Valley Growers practice field. The field is next to Bulldog Stadium, and it is open to the public.
Okay, so if you want to watch the spring game, make sure you bring a chair or a blanket or something, because there's not going to be any stadium seating for
there
you.
There won't be. I mean, bring a blanket, bring a sandwich. Much like Bulldog Stadium, I don't think they're allowing beer. So you might want to keep that to one side.
you might not want to bring that out.
Sneak it in.
But yeah, this week is pretty much what we have to talk about is practice.
Talk about practice.
Now, one. But before we wrap things up, there is we do have an email in our mailbag this week.
Is it good or bad?
Well, it's from an old friend of ours. You remember Andre Rivas, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, he
usually has some good stuff for us.
Well, he actually has an email directed towards you in the Red Zone Frenzy.
All right.
So let me go ahead and break it down for you here. It says, "Hey, guys, I just wanted to congratulate you guys on a real good start to your dog website. The design is clean, and unlike the articles posted at Mario's Barkboard, your articles are, one, free, and two, have a lot more meat to them. I love the bark board, but I think the site is better served when focusing on X's and O's than when they try to write articles. When I read something, I want Sports Illustrated or New York Times type articles. If they are talking about a player, discuss the player, discuss his growth, discuss the college recruit facts, discuss his college recruitment facts, projections, etc.
The problem with the Barkwood is that I don't feel I get my money's worth as a subscriber. The recent article you wrote was better than any of the articles I've seen posted at Barkboard. That's a lot saying coming from
him. Yeah, well, which article was it, though?
Let me see. Let me keep going here. And the absolute best player breakdown I've ever read wasn't at the Barkboard either. It was at the Bulldog Bounce player breakdown from last season. I was thinking that if the Red Zone Frenzy were to do something similar, maybe even in more detail for each position, it could lead to a lot more hits to your site. Still supporting you guys. Keep up the good work. Dre.
You know what? I've been trying to push for articles like that, and I'm glad to see that there is interest out there. I'm glad to see that because believe me when I say I've been pushing for that stuff since day one, since the day I created Red Zone Frenzy along with Lucille and Jeremy and Chris. So, I mean, I'm pushing towards that. And we do have an offensive lineman story that maybe Andre may have seen that kind of tries to touch base on something similar like that. So
he did leave me a link of the article that he was talking about that was the best article he's read in a while. I'll have to send it over to you so you can take a look and see what he's talking about.
Now.
I'll show it to you after we wrap things up.
Yeah.
But you know, Andre, we're glad to hear from you again. You're pretty much, I think you're one of our biggest fans, and we appreciate you.
I mean, if you want to, like, you're more than welcome to email us at any time, or even try maybe coming on the show through Skype. I mean, I think he's in Hawaii or.
You know what? I think that was a different one. I'll have to find out exactly where he's from, and we'll.
But yeah, we love hearing from you.
Well, he did become a fan of our Facebook page, so I'll take a look and see exactly where he's from. Andre, you're more than welcome to join us on the air if you'd like. We'll set you up with a Skype feed, and you can jump on with us and help us break down some X's and O's anytime. So, and that goes for anyone. If anyone is interested in jumping on maybe one or two shows, you're more than welcome to do so. Just send us an email. You can do it through the website at the Dog Bite Podcast. There is a contact us link. Just click on it, put your email address, put your message in, and it goes straight to us.
And another thing, too, is that if you have anything to say, even if it means like maybe finding ways to sort of improve the Dog Bite Podcast or Red Zone Frenzy, let us know. Let us know. We're open to any suggestion.
Yeah, we're always tweaking things.
Yeah. Obviously,
Lorenzo kind of gets shakes his head sometimes when I say I'm going to change something.
Yeah, I kind of yawn or I take a nap or I mean
he doesn't care. I'm the technical guy. He's the info guy. So
I'm the information guy.
So
Mr. Intellect.
Together we work well together. So we have we got the good chemistry going here.
Yeah, see.
So we do this because we love it and we want to keep. Sending out the information you want us to report on. So if there's anything that we don't already report on and you would like for us to kind of research, let us know, send us an email, and just let us know what you think. Any final thoughts?
You want to talk about the uniforms or no?
If you want to. What else do you know?
Okay, we know that it's going to be this Friday. It's going to be between 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. They're going to unveil the home and away jerseys. So rumors are they're going to have the names on the back of the jersey. I'm also hearing multiple rumors that they're bringing back the Fresno State on the front.
Those are the items that have been confirmed. We talked about it last week. The names on the back of the jerseys, that's definite. That has been confirmed. The Fresno State on the front has also been confirmed.
I don't know what they're going to do with the shoulders and everything else.
Now, as far as color scheme, striping, everything else, we have no idea. But one that's almost been confirmed is the stripe on the helmet. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be something that they're bluffing on. But we'll see what happens. So we'll know more on Friday.
Sounds good.
And then we'll try to get some photos and stuff, and we'll put up an article for you over at the Dog Bite Podcast.
Yeah, we'll have an article on it on that particular day as well, because I do plan on being out there. And whatever else comes out from the fall practices, I mean, we'll keep you in the know.
Both Lorenzo and I will put up an article, one over at the Red Zone Frenzy, one for the Dog Bite Podcast. We'll put one up, and we'll try to see if we can get those photos out to you so you can see what they look like. With that being said, also, if you haven't already, head over to Friday Night Football Podcast. We're covering all the high school football for the central section of California. And we're getting into the groove of things. We're doing our countdown of the top 25 high schools in the area, and you know, you're missing out because we got some great information out there for you.
Not only that, next week we will be unveiling our top 10.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing our top 10 through 5. And then the following week, we'll hit the number 5 through 1, and we'll break it all down for you. So everyone, just head on over there, check it out. We've been putting up some articles on some late-breaking news for high school football. And, you know, we're trying to report on it as best that we can, but we could still use help for high school football. So with that being said, any final thoughts for you?
Well, you know what? If you do indeed go out to the scrimmage on Saturday, I mean, hopefully you could get there safely. Do enjoy yourself. And, I mean, just have a great weekend.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. You know, drink lots of water because it might be a hot day.
It should be like around triple digits. So definitely get the fluids going. And I don't mean alcohol. I mean water.
Something non-alcoholic, folks.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to allow it in there.
So, hope you enjoyed the show. Join us again next week as we continue the ongoing coverage of Fresno State Athletics as we start to get geared up for the game opener against Cal. So maybe we might even have a breakdown for the Cal game. So enjoy, join us again next week, and we'll probably be going back to our live format sometime next week. Let's keep our fingers crossed that I can get everything working. And you know, until then, everyone, enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time.
Find more great podcasts at lifestylepodnetwork.com.au.